Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. And welcome to Balance Point. Today is going to be a special day for us because we are going to be taking a look at Christmas. We're taking a little break from our regular study, and we're going to take a little bit of a different look at Christmas, I think, today. And before we get started, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you and we bless you that you have given us this day. Father, without this day, we all would be without hope. We would all be lost. But because of your loving kindness, we can celebrate the birth of your Son. And now, Father God, we ask that as the name of your Son implies, you would be with us as we take a little bit of a different look at Christmas. Amen and amen. The title of today's message is Planned, Not Patched. You see, Christmas was not a patch. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't a situation where mankind fell and God went, uh-oh, I gotta come up with something. No, that wasn't it. That wasn't even remotely it. Christmas was God's plan from the very beginning. Christmas was on God's mind. And the price that would need to be paid was in his plan from before the foundation of the earth. No, Christmas was not a patch, but rather Christmas was planned. Christmas was God's plan. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom that he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, the spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom. Long before the world began. But he has now revealed him to you in these last days. You see, God had a plan. And the plan was that even though we were going to fail, even though we will falter, even though we would blow it, there would be a plan. And that plan began before time. You see, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word, the Logos, The living breath of God was with God. And the plan was from the beginning that the Word would become flesh. Because you see, God loved the world so much that watch what he did. All things were made through him, the Logos. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. In Jesus, even before he incarnated, was life. And the life was the light of man. But you know, even to this day, that light that shined in the darkness and shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness doesn't understand him. You see, God had a plan that from the beginning, the Word would become flesh. And this isn't a new thing that was brought up. But this was God's plan, and it was revealed from the start of creation. Genesis chapter 3, reading from verse 14. And I want you to notice that God doesn't even speak to the man and woman here. But rather God speaks directly to the enemy of man. He speaks to the serpent. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you're cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. But here's why we came here. Because here is the primordial seed of the promise. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. There's going to be a war, God says, between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And God here predicts the outcome. He, that is, the seed of the woman, shall bruise your head, shall crush your head. But you shall bruise his heel. You see, Christmas was decided on God before he ever created anything. It was promised by God at the very beginning. And Christmas is meant not for stuff, but Christmas was meant to be a blessing. Christmas was meant to be and to bring joy to all of mankind. It was a promise. And it was promised back to Abraham. Now God said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your family and from your family's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Abraham was to be a blessing. Why? Because I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And here's why we came here, verse 3. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Christmas is meant as a blessing, not just to the Jew, not just to the Christian, but Christmas is a blessing. Christmas is a time of joy for all of mankind. It's meant to be a time when mankind is renewed in the relationship with God. But I get ahead of myself here. What do we know about Christmas? We know that it was a promise of a Savior. We know that it was a promise that God would right the wrong of sin. We know that he who was to be born was to come from Abraham. And we finally later learn that he was to be born of kings. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will rise unto David a righteous branch. A righteous branch. That's a title of the Messiah. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice on earth. You know, this has only been partially fulfilled. Because while the righteous branch was raised up in the manger 2,000 years ago, he is yet to sit on the throne of his father David. And yet the days are coming when the promise of justice reigning on earth will be fulfilled. But this baby that we celebrate today was more than just a king. Because you see, if he was only a king, then he would only relate to the rich. No, this is a king born of a woman. And yet more than just a man born of a woman, this would be nothing less than God born in flesh. How long will you gad about, O backsliding daughter, speaking of Israel? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Jeremiah 30, verse 22. God will create something new. Now, up to that point, is it saying that God, that man was not born from a woman, that man did not come from woman? No. For up to this point, the cycle of life was, of course, that men were born of woman. But this is a new thing. A new man. The God-man. God was going to do something that he had never done before. He was going to cause himself to be encased in flesh. And this wasn't just to be a normal birth, but this was to be the miracle birth. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The Lord will give you what you are to look for. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bear you a son. What is this sorcery, you might say, that a man should be born without the seed of the man? But this was necessary, so that the thing born might be of God, so that the thing born might be sinless, so that the thing born might be without spot and blemish, the perfect Lamb of God, given from beyond time and space. The virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God is with us. You see, it isn't enough that God is out there somewhere. It isn't enough that God is all powerful, that God is all knowing. No. God doesn't just want to be all powerful. God didn't just want to be all knowing. God didn't just want to be everywhere at all things like some of the animists believe these days. Like those who believe that God is in everything. Yes, God is in everything. God created everything, but God is more than just an impersonal force. No, God is with us. How is God with us? God is so much with us that God became encompassed by a woman. God developed in the womb of that virgin. God developed from an embryo to the fetus. God, who existed before time, as we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same very Word was born. The same very Word got cold and was wrapped in swaddling clothes. The same very Word became hungry and cried. The same very Word grew up and learned to walk. The same very Word fell and scraped his knee. The same very Word learned of God the Father. The same very Word learned a trade and became a carpenter. That same Word grew weary, grew lonely, grew hungry, grew thirsty. That same Word knew rejection and gossip. That same Word knew pain. God is with us. You see, and you've heard this for the last few months from Balance Point. We who believe in Jesus believe not in a God that's distant, but in a God that got his hands dirty. And he got his hands dirty for you and for me. God is with us. All of the creation God spoke, and it came into being. Let there be light. Let the waters be separate and dry land appear. Let plants grow, let animals be. But then he came to man. And he said, let us make man in our own image. Let us make man out of the dust. Emmanuel. He was with us in the beginning, when he made man out of the dust. It is said of the animals back there in Genesis that the breath of life was in them. But it's only said of man that God personally breathed, and man became a living soul. God got his hands dirty when he made us. And God got dirty when he saved us. God, the God who spoke and the stars came into being, was born wet and bloody, just like you and me. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He wasn't born in a palace. Though he came from a kingly line. No. He was born in a town that was close to Jerusalem and yet eclipsed by it. Easy to forget. You see, the God-man came out of nowhere. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you were little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth were from old, from everlasting. You see, God stepped out of eternity. He stepped out of glory. He stepped away from the riches and into obscurity. Ironic when you really think about it, that God stepped out of glory and was born in a town not that far from Jerusalem. I think it's only about 7 or 8 miles. And what makes it so ironic is the one thing that we needed the most, the one thing that we need the most is life. And the one thing that sustains life the best is bread. He who was the Word, the Logos, for us became the bread. He was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. It means house of bread. He was born in the house of bread. To become bread for us. He lived in obscurity in Nazareth. Out of nowhere he came. And he was quiet. He wasn't boisterous in his coming, nor was he loud in his leaving. Because you see, if God had come to us in a way that was brash, then where would that leave the outcast who has no voice? If God had come with proclamations of trumpets blaring and fanfare, where would that leave the rest of us? Out of nowhere he came, and quietly, and even still his call is quiet. He doesn't cry from the mountaintop, come up here, but from down in the valley he whispers, I am here. Isaiah tells us he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Quietly like a lamb led to the slaughter, he went to the cross. Though he was sinless, he died for us. He died for us. Why? So that gently he might touch us. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. You see, you and I have a problem. We're bruised. We have been bruised by the poison of the serpent. And the light, the life, the fire that God breathed into mankind at the beginning is smoldering. Because we've been cut off from the fuel. We've been shut down from the source. And though we are born and we grow, apart from God, we are like touch paper that just goes up in smoke. Our 60, 80, maybe 100 years, if we're lucky, are nothing in the vast sea of time. And yet we need our flames to be fanned up. And yet we need the bend in our lives caused by sin to be straightened. And he does so gently, quietly. He doesn't do it by beating our heads with it. He doesn't do it by condemning us. No. The greatest gift was a babe born in a manger who quietly took our shame. Surely he's borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. And we didn't even esteem him. We didn't even value. We looked at him as something stricken, smitten by God. And afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. He became the bruised reed in our place for our iniquity. The chastisement, the punishment, the torment that was due to us. He took and he gave us peace in its place. And by the stripes that he took, we are healed. And he did all of this quietly. He didn't raise his voice. And he did all of this in obscurity. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Whether you believe and trust in Jesus or not, it doesn't matter. Your sin's already been paid for. And the gift of life has been given. The gift of life is already yours. The question is, will you take it? He took our shame so that we might live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He is our Lamb of God who took away my sin and your sin. Blessed are those who are called and accept the gift. You see, Christmas is, yes, about a little baby, but it's more about a man who stretched out his arm. The man God who, when asked, and this is a question, how much does God love me? How much does God love me? We cry out in our anger and we cry out in our pain. And we believe that God doesn't love us. And even some of us who have been Christ followers believe, well, God only loves us about that much. God doesn't love you that much. You see, God says, I love you that much. When God became man and he stretched out his arms. And not just that we might live forever, but that we might live forever with God. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us, but God doesn't just want to be with us in this plane of existence. God wants to be with us forever, and so God did something wonderful when he sent Jesus into the world to become flesh. He began the process of adopting us as children. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Isn't that what we do as fathers, as parents? Isn't that what we try to do at Christmas time with the presents under the trees? God has given us the greatest present, but he didn't just put it under a tree for us. He put it on the tree. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us, God chose you. God chose me. And he didn't do it when we were cleaned up. Just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, we've come full circle. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us before we were ever born, before he said, let there be light, to adoption, adopted. We were orphans. We were without love. We were without hope. But God the Father said, I love you. And I choose you to be my children. You were lost. You were abandoned. But he adopted us as sons by Jesus to himself. Was it because of our specialness? No. It was because of the good pleasure of his will. To the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We were made acceptable in the beloved. You see, that is the story of Christmas. That is the story of God's blessing. That is the story that we tell every December 25th. That is the story of the babe in the manger. Father God, we thank you for the story of your son, the baby in the manger. With arms outstretched, he cried out and said, I am with you. Father, we ask your blessing this day upon those who know you. But more importantly, Father God, we ask your blessing this day upon those who don't know you, that they might come to know the love of Jesus and the adoption that you offer. Oh, Father God, thank you for this time in your word. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen. We invite you to contact us here at Balance Point. You can email us at staff@balance-point.org. You can catch us on our Facebook page. You can catch us at our YouTube channel, Balance Point Church. Or you can even mail us at Balance Point Church, and the address is 1998-1998 East Oris, O-R-I-S Street. We live in Willowbrook, California. That's Willowbrook. That's all one word. 90222. We love hearing from you. We love hearing what God is doing in your life through the Balance Point community. We will be continuing our study next week, continuing in the book of Genesis. And there are actually going to be a few changes this year, and I pray that I can actually keep up with these changes and pray for us. Because we're going to be actually upping the game here at Balance Point. One change that we would like to make is we would like to be able to have the closed captions on the various videos that we have updated and corrected to make those available. Because the wonderful thing about having the closed captions, particularly in English, is once they're in English, it's not that big of a deal to translate them. And Balance Point does go around the world. At last check, we were being seen and viewed and listened to in well over 40 different languages. We like to be able to make the transcripts available in those languages. We like to be able to download those transcripts and add them actually over on the Balance Point webpage, and then they could be run through Google Translate, or people who are bilingual be able to translate them. But pray for us here at Balance Point, because this year we're going to be turning up the heat a little bit. Our goal is to begin teaching through 3 chapters a week, so we can really begin to move through the Word of God. Also, and we are still praying about this, but a second Balance Point may be produced that will just be kind of topical each week, just kind of looking at a different topic. And then depending on the response from the Balance Point community, we will continue going through the Bible verse by verse. Understand, that's 3 different lessons that have to be prepared. And, of course, I'm bivocational, which means that I have a day job on top of this. So pray for us, and pray how you might be able to help Balance Point in a technical way, maybe with translation or some other way. But pray about it, and then get in contact with us through one of those contact points. Also, as many of you may know or may not know, I am actually back to serving with the church that helped to birth Balance Point. And so Balance Point is going to be part of that ministry for the time being. And so we pray for your blessings upon Side by Side Community Church. And of course our grandmother church, Light and Life Christian Fellowship in North Long Beach. The greatest thing that you can do for us here at Balance Point is to pray for us. And so we do covet your prayers, and we do covet any way that you may be able to help us. Whether it's taking on a small group or something along those lines. Anyway, I've rambled on here enough. So next year you will see some changes. And I pray that they are for the good and that they are for your blessing. And now receive the blessing in the name of the Father, who so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son. And in the name of the Son, who seeing the great joy that would befall him, decided, yes, I will come down. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, who gently calls us and touches us. Go in peace this week, as you love and serve the Lord. Amen.